And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 20 minutes, we'll go over some strategies, some ideas to help you improve your current investments and to enhance your retirement income. And sort of a welcome back for myself, just getting back from a two-week vacation. I guess the first one I've taken in about 3 years. But here we are almost mid-year, 2022. And we'll probably rebroadcast this show again in a few weeks. But certainly nice to get away, but even nicer to get back. And during the break, which might be considered a bit of a work vacation, still had my phone with me and my laptop available for my clients to reach me when Wi-Fi was available, and able to speak to, I guess, new clients, listeners to this show, who had expressed concerns about their own investments, the lack of follow-up or contact with their own bank. They could reach me quicker while I was on remote and on vacation than their own bank, who I don't think were on vacation, but simply just didn't get back to the clients. So, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've replayed some shows, some low-risk investment-type shows featuring Sun Life, the Money for Life, the annuities. A good option, especially for those who might be concerned about their financial future, the returns, and or, you know, running out of money, looking for a little less risk. And we'll talk more about less risk in the second half of today's show. But the first half, we'll talk about your money managers and their role in reducing your risk. For now, we know funds are down for the most part, first half of the year, and it might take the second half of the year just to get back to break even. But also the funds that are up, that are holding steady so far this year, and what has been a choppy, up and down, not totally unexpected, but somewhat volatile market so far this year. But it'll all turn out quite well. So when you have your investments, your mutual funds, your SEG funds, your ETFs, professionally managed by companies like Fidelity and CI and McKinsey, Vanguard, Desjardins, Dynamic, Sun Life, BMO, etc., the list is so long. The list is massive. Those funds, professionally managed on your behalf by CEOs, by financial analysts, experienced money managers and traders and investors whose sole purpose is to make as much wealth increase for you as reasonably as possible. Picking up gains when the market tides are coming in full, like they were in 2019, 20, and 21, and to limit losses when the market tides recede, as they have since January. So take Fidelity American Discipline, for example, a core fund, a great all-star fund, meaning a fund that most clients could and should hold at least a percentage of in their portfolio. Well, since January, if someone just started, that fund's down about 10% from its peak in January. Now, if your sole purpose was to invest for just 6 months or less, this fund, really no fund, you could invest in that short period of time. When you're talking months, 6 months time frame, that should be placed in savings. Either that or you're just gambling. Investing means several years. So it's long term, like a baseball player, an all-star baseball player playing 150, 160 games a season, all kinds of accolades and awards. But he might come across a 10-game stretch where he can hardly hit the ball. Pop-ups, strikeouts, four hits out of 40 at-bats, batting 100, very low average. Maybe started the season hitting 380. The average drops a bit for that 10-game stretch, but it's a long season. And he rebounds like a good all-star, like good players do, and good funds, good all-star funds do. And the rest of the way, the rest of the season of baseball till September, and the investments are a lot longer. And he finishes the year batting 330, over 30 home runs and 100 RBIs, good stats, good all-star stats, despite having some strikeout slumps throughout the season. And he does that year after year. So you can't hit them all, just most of them, most of the time. So take this Fidelity American Fund, like most funds, down since January because of global events, which, while not always nice, but kind of expected. So there were some phenomenal returns from 2019 to 2021, close to 20% per year for 3 straight years. That's not normal. It will subside to a more normal 6 to 7% long term, but it was there. That was there, those returns, and that helps cushion the current impact or short-term slump. No, rates were going to go up a little bit this year. They were going to rise. We knew that, primarily due to inflation, which we talked about, well, last spring on our show. And that inflation due to COVID and the lack of supply. The supply chain was interrupted. So not so much heavy consumer demand or robust economy driving prices up, but more of a greatly reduced supply chain, primarily due to COVID pandemic in early 2020. And once that supply chain opens up, begins to open up, mostly with China, better times ahead. Now, 2021, we expected a soft market, but it was just the opposite, a massive rally, somewhat government-induced. If you didn't make 10%, 12% plus per year over the last 3 years when markets were exceptional, what were you going to make when the markets drop, which could be all of this year? Rising rates and inflation. That would definitely have an effect on global markets. And to add to that, well, Russia invades Ukraine in February, which would affect both global and U.S. markets, as many of these companies and countries had working relationships in or with and business with Russia. Now it's been cut for now. So Fidelity American, yes, down over 10% since January, but let's take the last 3 years from right now. The last 3 years, 8.63 annual return. Take the last 5 years, including the 2018 sell-off, still averaging 7.86% per year for the past 5 years. Take the past decade. It used to be about 13%, still 11.53 annual return. So despite current events, the current 10-game batting slump, despite the COVID crash of 2020, the big sell-offs in 18 and 11, and a smaller sell-off in 2016, this fund has for a decade hit the ball out of the park. So that's what you want with your funds and with your fund managers. As an investor, as a client myself, I want someone to navigate this investment for me so I don't sell low, I don't buy too high, I don't get over emotional and make some mistakes. I want solid returns. I want my money's worth. So the Fidelity American Fund, it's been around for decades. The holdings in that fund have changed quite a bit over the years. It's a growth fund, not overly aggressive, but certainly not too passive. It currently holds about 89 different American stocks, a good broad range, not a tight focus type fund. It can range anywhere from 85 to 110 different American holdings, mainly big blue chip American companies like Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google now called Alphabet, and Tesla. So it majors right now in information, IT technology, and healthcare. Now to give you an idea of why you diversify, why you spread your risk, and have your money managed for you. Recently, after holding two other companies late in the year of last year, Netflix and Facebook now called Meta. Fidelity sold off both in January. I wonder, now why would you do that? So far this year, Facebook is down 40%, Netflix is down over 60%. So Fidelity knew something that maybe most people didn't know. So that's the risk of going solo on buying your own stocks versus having it managed for you. Now, years ago, Fidelity would have held higher percentages in companies like Disney and Dell and GM and Ford. And before that, way back, IBM, Kodak, RCA, General Electric, and Sears. See, it changes, they evolve. So in these funds, you have a team of managers, like professional scouts on your baseball or hockey team, buying, selecting, selling shares on your behalf, holding cash when needed as new opportunities arise, drafting new players, and getting rid of overpriced players. Now take Fidelity Canadian. In January of 2020, after a 19% gain in 2019, decided to place a lot of its fund in cash in January of 2020. Bit unusual. But a month later, the COVID pandemic hit full bore. This fund was ready to buy back in low. And in 2020, that fund, after making 19%, came back with a hefty 25% gain. So while the fund managers on television, talk about parking some in cash or selling off at a high profit, you don't have to do any of that. They're doing it for you. You may not get the big snapper like a 35% return on a stock overnight, but nor should you experience that 50% drop that you can get on by holding on to the wrong stock or stocks. That's one of the reasons for having your money managed. The pilot flies the plane for you. You don't have to. Now, every downward trend or receding wave is followed by a bigger uptick or higher tides. All you have to do is make sure you're on the right ship, the right funds, hit it in the right direction, upward to the right over the long term. Now, despite the markets being down, there have been some funds that have done quite well this year. We'll be back in a moment to see which ones right after this.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and/or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income. On your Financial Destination show, we'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. So what funds are winning or holding up so far this year? You read the news and you think all is lost, but it's not. So here are five examples of some winners so far this year. Number one, Canada. Good Canadian funds. Fidelity, CI, the list goes long. Canadian growth funds. We have oil. We have natural resources. They're both up right now. Our bank stocks always do well, and bank stocks do well in rising interest rates. Consumer goods, grocery chains, Loblaws, Empire, no matter what the price is, we still get to drive, we still get to eat. And most of your Canadian funds are going to have stocks like RBC, TD, CIBC, Brookfield Asset, Dollarama, Suncor Energy, Algonquin Power, Nutrient, formerly called Saskatchewan Potash, CP and CN Rail, Canadian Natural Resources, Alimentation Couche-Tard, Intact Insurance. So there'd be finance, resources, consumer goods. We have a lot of good ones. Other countries wish they had the resources we have. So Canada's doing quite well. Your Fidelity Canadian, your CI Canadian, all those, all holding at or near the par line so far this year. Some plus one, some minus two. For the past 12 months, the returns have been 7 to 8%. Due to having the nice double-digit returns last year. So while your U.S. or global funds might take a bit of a breather right now, down a little bit, a little rest, Team Canada has picked up the slack. Number two, for those more rather adventurous, you could do global resources solely, oil funds, CI Global Resources. It's up 21% so far this year, over 40% in the past 12 months. Now that can be quite volatile, so don't jump in all too excited. Because as soon as there seems to be like a shortage in oil, someone else, some other company or company finds a magic tap and turns on the tap and oil prices drop. These same funds ran minus 26 back in 2018 and made like 2% in 2020. So not something for older clients, those 70 plus. You can get enough of the oil in your broader base Canadian funds. But for those 65 and under, still adding to their investments, we asked since January, we placed a small portion, maybe 5% of their overall investments in these funds to carry the load until the other funds, until they recover. And when they do, this fund will probably head back down. Now, number three, not looking for those high roller coaster type funds. Here we go. Low volatility funds. The name itself explains what it is. For example, the low volatility U.S. equity ETF fund, U.S., still up 1.3%. Still USA, still positive, even though U.S. markets are down. It's less growth, less tech, more of a lower volatility type fund. The past 12 months, return 13.5. Take the low volatility Canadian ETF equity fund, minus 2 so far this year. Past 12 months, 9.1. And take the monthly high income fund, positive, 4% return so far this year. For the past 12 months, 17.3. Now, these funds are all fairly new, only been out for 2 or 3, maybe 4 years. And back in 2020, none of these funds were very high performers. They're all around the 1% mark. But for those seeking modest gains with less swings, less volatility, yes, the low volatility funds are made for that. Perhaps a bit older client, again, meaning 65 plus. Place a portion of your investments here. There's some pretty good funds, and they're, again, less than 5 years old. These are a combination of ETF seg funds. Even more risk-averse, very low risk are the guaranteed market-linked advantage funds. And you can place a lot of your investments in terms like these, in terms of 3, 4, and 5 years. So you stagger the term so you have your money coming due, could be tax-free, for example, coming back to you each year, starting 3 years from now. Now, we did a lot of these back in 2018 on the last down cycle. Clients placing portion of their investments in something where they couldn't lose any of their principal. 100% principal guaranteed, no matter what their age, absolute zero loss. But they can pick up some of what the market makes, and it never goes down. So you can invest in the market. Could be global, diversified, economic, social, governance, green, ESG. Could be financials or consumer staples. There's a cap or a ceiling of how much you can get in return. Often they're up around 5% to 8% per year, depending on which term the longer term pays the more. Now, this is quite an increase from what they were offering even just last 2 years. So there is optimism in the market. But what if the world went bad? Russia kept coming east and COVID just kept on coming and the markets fell and your friends or neighbors said, man, I've lost a lot of money. Well, in this case, with the market linked, your principal, whether it was $10,000, $100,000, $500,000, would still be there. Never less than what you started with. All of it covered. Not just like a $100,000 GIC, it's all covered. Full principal and life insured up to age 95. And they're SEG funds. So if something happens to you, you stop breathing, the money bypasses probate right away, whether it's in a tax-free or not. So your spouse or your kids, they can wait till the end of the term and most likely cash in on a little extra gain or stop midway through when you did and take back the principal, even if the world has gone financially bad. So that's something quite important for a lot of older clients. Clients of back of mine back in 18 and 19, 3 and 4 year terms, money comes due. Like a GIC, but it paid quite a bit more. And yes, their open money, the Fidelity funds, made a bit more for those past 3 years, but having $100,000 tucked away, knowing that it'd be at least $100,000 and more like $115,000 coming due in 3 years later, was just fine. Good diversification. And then number five, you have your private alternative funds. No, they're not guaranteed. They're similar to a GIC and the market linked as far as you have to hold them as terms, similar 4 to 5 years, but alternatives are set to provide consistent returns, not guaranteed. Now, in the past, most target rates were set up around 8% per year. Now, since COVID, since 2020, most of these funds have reduced those distributions to be about 6% or so per year. Still very attractive. And perhaps peace of mind, as opposed to watching your open money go to minus 6. So you see a private market specialist for more details before investing in alternatives. However, it has been quite pleasing for most clients, placing maybe 10% of their investments here, receiving continuous growth in income for the past several years, throughout the good times and the bad. Okay, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you change to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:15 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
And we're back. So there's a wide range of investment options. You can't have them all. But quality choices for you. Sometimes they work in unison, sometimes they counter each other, all there to help you complement, diversify your investments. You don't want to chase from one to the other, but simply allocate properly, then maybe rebalance from time to time. Taking profits when they're up, holding steady while down, waiting for the next wave to cash in again. So it's long-term planning, depending on your own timeline and needs. So see your advisor for more, and it should be a close business relationship with the advisor and the client. You shouldn't have to place several calls or wait weeks to get an answer. We thank you for listening in this morning. We trust you learned something you can use to gain a little bit more knowledge and help your returns. This show will be on my website in a few weeks. You can visit yourfinancialdestination.ca. Call 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time. Stay safe and stay invested.